Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, former Democratic State Party Chair Jill Derby joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
This program with Jill Derby was recorded just a few days before the remarkable collapse of the government in Afghanistan. Because we're always pleased to be joined by Jill Derby. She's the former Democratic State Party chair. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Sam. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so let us start out with the news that broke this morning. We're taping this on the morning of August 9th, which is former State Senator Ivana Cancela is going to be Governor Sisolak's new chief of staff. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's great. He needs a seasoned professional person who's really been closely in the loop. And although I don't know her personally at all, I'm just pleased, you know. I'm a supporter of Governor Sisolak, and I think it's important that he be reelected for continuity and all sorts of reasons. So I'm pleased. I don't know what more to say about that. I think it's important. Who the chief of staff is to any governor is such a critical position. And I just assume he's chosen well and very thoughtfully.
Okay, well, just to add in that she, of course, ran the Joe Biden campaign in Nevada.
That's right.
And then went back in a job in D.C. in Health and Human Services.
Okay.
And so it's interesting for her to come back, but I think she brings a lot of talents
Good.
To the administration, not only on a political level, but also on a financial level,
yes.
that because of her contacts with the Biden administration,
oh, absolutely.
She has the ability to bring significant money from other sources to that gubernatorial campaign.
And that's going to be important. It's going to be an expensive race. I didn't realize she'd been in Washington, and what a added benefit that will be to Steve. Governor Sisolak, of course.
Yes, and you worked with him for many years on the Board of Regents.
Yeah, know him well.
And are you comfortable with the way he's handled COVID?
Yeah, I am. I think it's been a tough, any governor, look over in California, they're going to recall.
Please don't make me.
Governor Newsom over this. I think it's been a really tough call. And I think he's done the best that he could. He's really tried to be loose enough to bring people along and not enforce mandates when he didn't have to, only when he listened to the scientists, he listened to the health professionals. I really am grateful for him. And you look at some of these southern governors who didn't get on board with mask mandates, and look what's happening in those states now. Look at Florida. Look at Missouri. Look at places where the COVID incidence has spiked enormously with this Delta variant, which is very contagious, we know, and affecting young people. And now they're coming back and saying, oh, no, wait a minute. We heard the governor of, is it Alabama or Arkansas? Alabama, I think.
Asa Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
But also Alabama, Kay, isn't that her first name? When she reversed course entirely and said, you need to blame the unvaccinated for the fact that our numbers have spiked in the hospitals. And Asa Hutchinson as well.
So doesn't this also, if we reopen it up to big, big picture, so not Republican or Democrat, but politicians, period, that we put way too much stock, A, in politicians' ability to be able to handle something like this, a once-in-a-century crisis, but also that the medical industry, as wonderful as it is, and believe me, as somebody who's had heart attacks and all kinds of issues, I am very grateful to the medical industry, but they are not gods, and they do not know everything, and they have had to learn all the way through this crisis. They didn't know going in everything that they know today.
Sam, that's true, but they know a lot more and have more at their disposal in terms of resources than the average Joe on the street.
Of course.
And you know, what we're hearing is really, I think, so unfortunate, because it's all from bad information that's been politicized, and now the whole issue of mask wearing has been politicized, and we're paying a price for it. I think I find myself very disappointed in America, because at some point a society has to care enough, individuals in a society have to care enough about the collective good, about the common good, that they're willing to look out for others. Wearing a mask is about protecting others much more than protecting yourself. And that somehow this whole issue has been politicized such that people are dying over that. And it just, it's a great disappointment. Are we really so divided and politicized that we can't protect our own citizens? That's a very serious issue in this democracy.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll go international with you after this timeout.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. I wanted to talk to you about Afghanistan. Right now, it's sad to watch the situation we have politically and actually really more bureaucratically. We're trying to get these translators out of Afghanistan to work with the United States and get them to safe haven. And obviously there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape to bring them to the United States. There's talk of perhaps sending them to Guam and to other countries in the Middle East. What are your thoughts on this?
I have a lot to say about this, Sam. To begin with, I think it's a kind of moral travesty. I understand it's 100% a political calculation, but the morality of it, and you've heard this from a lot of people, really is disappointing for our country. And we'll bear a cost for that. It's fairly shameful. You know, it's the old Pottery Barn saying about you buy it, you own it. Look, we invaded that country. It would be different if we didn't invade the country. We invaded the country, threw out the Taliban, took it over, helped establish a different government, and more sort of liberal Western ways of being, particularly in the big cities, Kabul number one, and the others as well. It isn't just the translators. The people that are going to be slaughtered over there by the Taliban are all those that don't agree with them ideologically. And I mean, women that we've encouraged now in education, they're in professions. It's back to the Dark Ages, but it isn't that. They'll kill a lot of people. Anybody who has opposed them, aligned with Americans, they're just going to kill in order to, and they can do it. And the thing that's very complicated is that, just a quick history lesson, you know, Afghanistan has never been, had a central government, never did. It was always regional warlords, that sort of thing. So trying to get a central government to establish authority throughout the country just hasn't gone well. So the Taliban are very strong out there in every place, but the biggest of all cities, and they're just coming in, and the way they take over is they kill a lot of people and anybody in authority in order to do it. It's brutal, it's ugly, and I say we didn't have to do it. We had a very light footprint there. We had, what, 2,500 troops, and we weren't in any kind of combat role. We were just advising, and we had had so few losses over the last couple of years, and I think we could have stayed there and protected it and maintained that very small, relatively inexpensive, given that we have thousands of troops in all sorts of other places. And we left, and I think it's not to our country's credit that we just abandoned them. And let me just say a little bit more. Yeah, maybe we'll pull out the translators. What about the hundreds of thousands of other people that are going to pay the price with this Taliban taking over? And one other, relocating people is no picnic. You take people out of their culture, their place, and put them in the Philippines or something. People struggle with that. They want to be where they know the culture and the language and the people. So it isn't like we're giving them some great prize and benefit. We're doing it because they know they'll all be killed. But we're just taking a very small sliver of the people that will pay the price for our withdrawal.
We went to Afghanistan after 9/11. And we wreaked destruction until we realized that actually we'd already destroyed pretty much everything that could be destroyed there. And then we turned our attention to Iraq. You can watch the movie Charlie Wilson's War and really understand that we never had a chance of winning, if there is any winning to be had.
Sure.
And so, you know, at what point do you say enough is enough, you know, one more American life is not worth it? Because I still don't understand what the objective is. And now it's interesting to hear the discussions, which is now it's the Chinese's problem. You know, I mean, that wasn't something that was laid out on the table. And maybe we should have been having discussions with the Chinese about what to do at the point where we wanted to leave, or over the last couple of years, and yet we did not do that. And now, of course, it's impossible to do that.
No, I've read that, and I think that's true. Here's the thing, Sam. If we look back at foreign policy over the last couple of decades, we've made horrible mistakes. We made the mistake of invading Iraq, and we really messed it up. You know, hopefully it's coming together. You know, I'm there. I work there. I know some of the leaders in that government, and they're working hard to try to put it back together again. And we've stayed there, and I think feel some responsibility. Also, ISIS is on the rise. I mean, I read every day, because I read in that news coming out of Iraq, the attacks by ISIS. So, you know, they don't have the land they had, but they're coming back. We're staying in Iraq, and I'm glad we are, because we have to be a minor presence there, because frankly, most Iraqis don't want us. But Afghanistan, it was the same thing. what was that all about? Okay, we knew that Afghanistan, the Taliban had protected the people that bombed the World Trade Center. Now, did it take invading the country and taking it over to sort of get our revenge for that or to protect us from any further attacks? It's hard to say, but you know, if you look at the record of our foreign policy, it hasn't been so impressive. And now we have the consequences of what we did. But by any moral terms, Sam, when you make a mess of something, you should help clean it up, or you should be responsible for it in a way that I think now by walking away, we're too bad, it's a mess. Yeah, we started it and it's a mess. And thousands and thousands of people, innocent people, will die and be killed. Too bad, politically, Americans don't want to be there anymore. Can't defend that morally.
No, but you can also look around the world and see lots of places where, in quotes, we should intervene from a humanitarian basis, and yet no government could ever do that, because if we did, that government would be out of power instantly.
Well, I don't want to say that we shouldn't ever go in, Sam.
No, I didn't say no, not ever. I'm just saying that you can look at Africa, where you have traveled many times, and look at many countries where there are all kinds of horrible things going on, and say, from a humanitarian basis, the United States has a moral obligation to go there. But the reality is that you can't be the world's policeman.
No, we can't, but we have a lot of allies that are part of this team. You know, the French are down in Africa. They had colonies there. They claim some responsibility. And I have to acknowledge the French for apologizing to the Rwandans for their role in that horrendous genocide. To me, that's taking responsibility, and they're looking at what sort of aid they can provide the country now as a gesture of compensation and acknowledging responsibility. We're very bad at acknowledging responsibility. We haven't really done that with our native populations here. Looking at the genocide that we caused, you know, in the expansion to the West and establishing the country. I admire Canada. I admire Australia. They've all acknowledged. I think it's important that we take responsibility for some of what we've done. I think it increases your stature as a better person and as a better nation to say, look, we did that. What can we do to compensate? This is going to be a stain in our character. Not that we go everywhere, but between the allies that we have, we can provide support where it can help a situation.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back. More with Jill Derby after this.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K-8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's the former Democratic State Party chair. This country is going through incredible social change right now. Mm-hmm. It reminds me to an extent, maybe not exactly the same topics, but to an extent of what was happening in the mid to late 60s into the early 70s. Does it strike you the same way?
Well, it does. You know, I've been reading a lot on this topic because I think we're all very worried about the state of the country, and we seem to be so critically divided that we can't manage anything. Now, there's some points of light out here. We're coming on a bipartisan infrastructure package that is hopeful. But we're very divided, and I think a lot of it goes to culture wars and social issues, and people that feel left behind and out of the conversation with all the social changes that have gone on. I mean, a lot of has been written about that. J.D. Vance did, and Hillbilly Elegy and others. But I think that underneath it all is the culture wars, and I'm very disappointed that the culture wars are now targeting education. And I've seen that in higher education, where I continue to work very actively, that some of these politically appointed boards are interfering in curriculum decisions and tenure decisions that belong to the faculty alone. You know, higher education is different, and it's not compulsory. But the faculty are the experts in the matter. And to have politically appointed boards jump in and say, know this, do this, is totally inappropriate. And American higher education has drawn people from all over the world because it represents a marketplace of ideas. And to have this issue of critical race theory come up as though that's a forbidden topic worries me, because no, that isn't. That's kind of what they do in China, limit the curriculum, make sure it's ideologically correct. We don't do that. To really educate people with a broad portfolio of knowledge and an ability to think critically about opposing ideas, we offer a marketplace of ideas at our colleges and universities. And to see that breached by political interference worries me. Now, when it comes to K-12 and the interference in curriculum and critical race theory, worries me very much, because critical race theory is another theory that says, in fact, following slavery, we institutionalized certain forms of discrimination against African Americans. Well, look around. We did that. We know that with zoning laws and banking restrictions, all sorts of ways, and certainly by divided education and segregation, which we addressed in the middle of last century. But, you know, this is to say that some are saying that critical race theory makes people feel, we don't want to make our kids feel uncomfortable or like guilty about anything. I don't know that that is, you know, the greatest impediment to maintaining a healthy, vigorous, rigorous, broad-based education system. But I think it's about taking responsibility for your past and being honest about it. And, you know, that's just one of the culture issues that's going down, is around racism and what we do about it, and some that are pushing back saying, I don't want to feel guilty, I didn't do it. And
And how do you respond to those people?
You didn't do it, but in fact, the institutions of our society, as they've evolved ever since the Civil War and the emancipation of slaves, has incorporated in its structure certain things that have disadvantaged African Americans, and we just need to remedy that. So it isn't about personal responsibility as much as this is America, these are our institutions, and we can do something about it.
How do you feel about the pushback towards this, though?
Well,
I mean, because
white nationalism.
Well, not necessarily. That brings up a whole area.
Yeah,
okay.
It does.
That doesn't incorporate the middle of the country, as it were. You know, we have extremes,
mm-hmm.
and we have, I believe, a much larger center, and that it's exacerbated by social media, and you know, the newspaper industry, the broadcasters, everybody's trying to sell the advertising that goes in between the messages, and whatever message is most outrageous. I remember
algorithms.
But it's not just algorithms. I mean, it's people's emotions. I remember in Northern Nevada, boy, it's probably 25 years ago now, maybe even 30, when a television station had not gotten any ratings for years, and it came under new management, and the story that they ran with that made them the number one newscast was a skinned dog story.
See?
That happened in Sun Valley.
Yeah, inflammatory.
Inflammatory. You know, when you look at education, what are the most political boards that you can come across? K through 12 boards, absolutely, these school boards.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you start right there. So when you say, you know, you have a theory, you want to open things up to have a discussion, it's not as easy as just saying
it isn't.
That's what you want to do.
It isn't. And I just would love to talk more about social media and the influence it has had. But I want to throw in, I read something recently that I found hopeful, and it said, we're not as divided as it looks.
I agree on, by the way.
The political class is, you know, which includes people that are political activists and elected to office and so on and so forth. Most Americans are moderate. And you look at the polling on some of these issues that get, you know, sort of inflammatory rhetoric around them. And they're really, it just looks like we're much more moderate. And so many, for instance, take a topic like gay marriage that's been highly controversial early on. Now, you know, there's 70% of the public agrees that that's fine. So I just think we're not as polarized as we seem to be. But this whole issue around COVID and masks and health has raised it to a whole new level of seriousness, that people are dying over this. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, so you shouldn't be able to put false health news out through social media. And there's a bill coming up to prevent that.
And then you bring up the whole question of censorship, which just means, as we're out of time, you have to come back soon and continue this conversation.
I will.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Jill. Thank you.
Thank you. And me too, Sam.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.